Okay, so everyone now knows that there is a podcast and a book. As in, I have referred to the book, and there is a book, but it's not finished. And it has now miraculously turned into a podcast, so I don't know if the book is going to be finished, but for the story, it is important to know the content of the introduction of my book. So basically, before the chapters start, okay? So I'm going to read the introduction, and then after the introduction, after fucking 10 episodes, I will explain why this is now a podcast and not a book. Even though I'm a writer, and I am, and after this introduction, you will know it, okay? There will be no question. Even if I never write again, I'm a writer. Okay, so introduction to my book starting now. 3:22 a.m., Mon 28 Aug, 2023. I'm writing a book. The reason why I'm a writer and not a documentary maker. Would have announced this defining moment earlier if my phone hadn't just died and my computer wasn't verifying the Word app, but let's take 3:22 a.m., Mon 28 Aug, as the moment I became a writer and not a documentary maker. And now, 3:24 a.m., is this writer's bedtime? Sigh. I'm a writer. I said it. Mon 28 Aug, 5:06 p.m. I have been dreaming about being a writer since the age of three. Can you imagine? I'm turning 40 in 1 month and one day, and I have known I wanted to be a writer since I was three. Mom always said growing up that I was going to be a builder, elephant in a porcelain cabinet, or the director of an orphanage, the Mrs. Doubtfire type. And now, after a gazillion other career attempts, some a bit more successful than others, I'm a writer. And this book wasn't even supposed to be my debut. Almost debut number one, half finished, saw the light when I was 3 years old. About a small little orange fish that got bullied by the other fish in the sea. I don't think the story ever got an end. I have to look it up. I know I still have it. A cut up A4 piece of paper stapled back together as a book with some words and a fish without an end, which, in all fairness, has been my main problem over the last four decades. I have zero issues with starting things. A new project makes me feel alive. But finishing something? Ugh, ouch. Yeah, not my forte. Almost debut number two, which will never become a book, don't worry, was called 99 Things About the Netherlands You Didn't Need to Know. I came up with the idea when I was on a road trip with my mom and dad in Australia. Mom and dad came to visit me and we drove about a week, 10 days through Western Australia. One of the accommodations I booked was about a 4 hour drive from Perth in a place called Stirling Range. Tiny town consisting of two houses and a gas station and a Dutch mill. A Dutch couple built an exact replica of a mill from a place called Oud-Beierland, the Lily. I thought, with mom and dad visiting the most quintessential Dutch people ever, it would be nice to book a day or two in this Dutch museum-like surroundings. Anyway, it was so adorable, the house we rented. A cute Dutch canal house-type building with everything Dutch, including the red and white checkered tablecloths everywhere. The night we arrived, I was sitting in this massive Chesterfield chair next to a bookshelf, and I saw a book with a similar title, 100 Things About Australia something something. It was funny, relatable, and super witty. I wanted to write like that. So, Neil Project Loving Me collected some really interesting facts about the Netherlands. No. Did you know that there are 127 different types of windmills type things? I still have the file on my computer. Wait, let me have a quick look. The book will never be written, I promise. Last looked at in 2019. See? I love to start things, but finishing something? 100 things about the Netherlands you didn't need to know. Verkleinwoorden, kleinste mens, roepnamen, zitten, staan, liggen, molens, 4,8 meter onder NAP, snelweg, viaduct, jas dragen binnen, drop, brood, gezegdes, windmolens, internet, eerste land, technomuziek, hoogste klimwand Europa, tulpen, letterlijke vertaling woorden, verrekijker, namen voor regen, verschillende soorten water, meer, plas, beek, etc. Giethoorn, buren, begintijd, ochtend, middag, avond, bruggen, verjaardagen, verwarming 20 graden. That's everything I could think of. So, no debut there either. Almost debut number 3 is about my grandfather. The people that know me a little bit have probably heard me mention wanting to write a book about him. The reason why that book is not this book is because of the timing and my flakiness. I'm not ready to write almost debut number 3. I've been trying to be ready for it for more than 2 years now, but I'm just not. Which is ironic, because if anyone knew I would be a writer one day, today of all days, it would have been my grandfather, Opa Piet. I remember growing up with a promise from Opa Piet that one day I would get his letters from the war. And I remember how excited and important that made me feel. Like I was given some sort of secret mission. Letters from the war. Wow. In my head, I played the most ghastly, dramatic, bloody love war stories involving letters from the war. And what topped it off for me was the fact that there would be letters from Opa Piet's brother as well, Uncle Carl, who moved to Australia after the war. The war clearly was a thing in our family. Uncle Carl came to visit us in the Netherlands sometimes. And when he did, he would bring a kangaroo for me and my sister that kept jumping over the fence every time my sister and I tried to catch it. Whenever my sister and I were playing inside my grandparents' house and we heard Uncle Carl yell from the backyard, "There he is! Skippy! Hurry up, girls! He's here! Come, quickly!" We would literally drop everything, including cups of cordial, food, toys, baby brothers, and run as fast as our little legs could carry us to finally catch a glimpse of Skippy. Fair to say now that there obviously never was a kangaroo in the backyard of my grandparents' house. But that little kangaroo joke made such an impression on me that I can see Skippy jumping over that fence right now. But anyway, the war. There was mention of the war occasionally, but there were never really stories about the war. It was a term, but nothing more than that for us kids. What happened exactly and how and when and to whom and why, I don't think was ever discussed. Another fact I discovered about Opa at a certain age was that Opa Piet had been to Indonesia. My grandparents had a lot of art from Indonesia. I didn't know when I was younger that it was from there, but the golden paintings always intrigued me. They also had a ton of little white young type figurines all around the house and even spoke some Baha Indonesian, but it was always Opa has been to Indonesia. And then there were the mysterious photo albums of Opa Piet in Indonesia. I only remember this one photo, it should still be somewhere, with Opa Piet standing in front of a little bamboo hut next to an Indonesian girl. Pretty, In my memory, she was wearing a white summer dress and Opa was in uniform. I think I even thought at some stage that the girl in the picture was my grandmother, but she was not. Why there was a picture of Opa Pete with another girl in some faraway land in front of a bamboo hut, I never understood. Little Janneke only cared about the letters from the war. Well, I got the letters in 2019, shortly after Opa Pete passed away on February 9th. When I got the letters from the war, I remember there being maybe a dozen, probably less, all folded into a few airmail envelopes. I was incredibly underwhelmed with the results, to say the least. I read some, I think, but I didn't get what the fuss was about. This is what I have been waiting for 30 plus years. How on earth am I going to write a book with that, Opa? That's not a novel, that's a tiny newspaper clipping at best. What am I missing here? Although it wasn't the grand life-changing gesture I had hoped for, my curiosity about what the heck my Opa Pete did in Indonesia was definitely piqued. Fast forward to the summer of 2022. I was talking to mom and dad via video call and I told them something from a book I was reading about Indonesia. Opa was in Indonesia, you know that, right? Yeah, of course I know that. After the war. When exactly, do you know? I remember that one picture of him in front of the bamboo hut, in uniform, I think. He was in the army there, right? Yes, yes he was. He was in the Royal Dutch East Indies Army. But come to think of it, that's actually all I know. Did Opa never talk about it? No, not really, no. I do know this one story about a crocodile at a wedding. Do you remember that one? Oh, yes, I do. Where the poor groom got eaten right before or right after the ceremony. I don't remember that part. And then someone, Opa, shot the crocodile and the groom came out. Dead, of course. But yeah, that story, I remember. Yeah, that's the one. Is that in any of the letters you got from Opa? Which letters? Those few pieces of paper I got when Opa died. No, there's nothing in there. Some letters between Opa and Uncle Carl from like the 80s or 90s, I think. No, not those letters. Which letters then? The ones we have downstairs in the basement, in one of your boxes. An entire folder full of letters from Opa, from Indonesia. Letters from the war. Not the war, World War II, but the war in Indonesia. My Opa was in Indonesia after the war. Wait. Straight after a 5-year war that ended in 1945, when my Opa was 17, in which he lost his father and his mother and his elder brother, he decides to go to Indonesia to join the army. Why? I remember feeling the gravity of what mom had just said, but my brain didn't fully grasp what was happening. All I knew is that I needed to get my hands on those letters. The letters you got later, after Auntie Marianne died, I think. Mom, I don't have any other letters than the airmail ones. Yes, Janneke, you do. They're right here. Show me. Okay, wait. Give me a second, I'll ask your dad to walk downstairs and grab them later. Mom, are you telling me that there are 80-year-old handwritten letters from Opa, from Indonesia, and you stored them in a cardboard box in the basement? Mom, that's my book, right there, rotting away in your humid basement. Why do I not know about this? When did these letters arrive? Why did nobody tell me? I thought you knew. You thought I knew. You thought I knew that these letters existed. You know I have been reading about Indonesia for years now. You thought I knew, but just never asked about them. Mom, I was so incredibly disappointed with the scraps I got as an inheritance, and now there's a whole freaking file and you thought I knew? No, Mom, I didn't know. I don't remember if it was during the video call one of my parents, probably my dad, went to the basement to get the letters or if it was a few days after, but the letters from the war, the one in Indonesia, exist. And I have them right here. I have to admit that the fact that the letters didn't exist in my head between 2019 and 2022 was a big relief. I could do all the research in the world about Indonesia. No letters, no book. I even came up with a story about how much I would have loved writing a book about my grandfather, but Opa was dead and he didn't leave me any letters, so I was off the hook. No book. But when the letters from the war turned up, I was in a bit of a pickle. Miss, I have never properly finished something in my life. Had a book to finish. A book to finish? How about a book to start? How on earth do you turn a stack of 80-year-old handwritten letters written over the course of 5 years from a faraway country into a book? I have all the information about the conflict. The Dutch involvement in Indonesia lasted almost 400 years. I've been reading about it for 18 months. Every single book I read in those 18 months, on average one or two a week, was about the Dutch-Indonesian conflict. Mainly about the last few years in which Indonesia finally became independent, thank goodness. That's the period I know most about. Say, 1940 to 1950. The years in which the Netherlands were fighting two wars at the same time, one in Europe against Germany, and one in the overseas colonies, Netherlands, India, against Japan. I just looked it up and I saw that Google uses the first date Indonesia declared themselves independent as the official independence date, 17 August 1945. But that's only one date in the story. Better yet, it's the beginning of the story in which one of the most gruesome independence wars of the last century was fought out, a war with hundreds of thousands of victims. During that last Netherlands-India decade, from roughly 1946 to 1950, my grandfather was there, my Opa Piet, a 17-year-old orphan, unable to find a job in war-wrecked Holland, with his older brother missing, decides to go to Indonesia to fight, or better, counterfight the independence of a sovereign nation. He was sent there to bring back Indonesia. It wasn't until the 27th of December 1949, more than 4 years later, after declaring themselves independent three times, that Indonesia was, quote unquote, granted complete and unconditional sovereignty. During that independence war, my grandfather celebrated his 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st birthday. During those years, he wrote letters to his sister, a lot of letters. Letters I have right here in front of me while I'm telling you this. And I haven't read one. Not one. Why? Oh, guys. Too scared to find out that I don't have what it takes to be a writer. No, seriously, I'm glad I get to write this book first. Official debut number one. Safely from my home on Mon 28 Aug, 11:30 p.m. All the archives and letters and witnesses, if you like to call them that, are all right here. I literally don't have to move except for a shower and a pee every now and again. All I'm going to do is tell you the story about how your Habibi became a famous writer. Funny part is that you know nothing about my obsession for books and the fire deep down inside me to one day write my own. Being a published author, that has always been my dream. And we never spoke about it, not once. You know me as aspiring photographer and documentary maker. Lots of talks about that. But in all fairness, I've only been those things for a few months. The version that hesitatingly tried to dip in her big toe and be creative. Express herself, be herself. Ugh. My outbursts of creativity were a bit over the top sometimes. But you went along for the ride as if it was all completely fucking normal. So much so that you let me post stories on Instagram for like a week with a hashtag about having standards that turned out to trace back to a bunch of poodles. That's how much you believed in me expressing myself to the world and stop hiding who I am. I thought it's all about the principle. Six laughing, smiling faces. No matter what, he said, be yourself, Habibi. You're more than perfect. And you know what? You were right. It is all about the principle. Express yourself, be weird, be unique, be colorful, be sensitive, be a poodle for all I care. When and where I lost Little Miss, I'm going to be a writer no matter what. And started hiding from the world, I have no clue. All I know is that she's back. This one is for me.